right, turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to have you remain seated tonight because I want to read practically all the chapter to you. Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord in Pitch and Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people. Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord," and I want you to listen to this statement, "saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Brother Bob, could you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you.
When you are living the Christian life, and I will get to these scriptures in a moment, but I want you to understand something. There are times when you're serving God that it seems like He's so very distant. If you would be honest, I think that if you would be right up front with yourself, I think that if you'd be right up front with your preachers and the people around you, there are times when God just does not seem like He's here. There's times in your life where maybe you don't see the hand or the direction of God. I need to help you a little bit in this thought process. The Bible says that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. So it doesn't become an issue with God being gone. It becomes an issue with us not seeing Him there. Because God's always here. God is always around. And if you're going to talk to Him at all, He hears you. He listens. He knows. Yes, you may not have prayers answered because you asked amiss and all those things, but by and large, I promise you, the Bible says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. That means He's always here. The Israelite people, they got to see God do some amazing things coming out of Egypt. It was not the Israelite people that removed themselves from Egypt, mind you. It was God that brought them out. Yes, they had a leader. That man was Moses. But understand this, it wasn't Moses that brought the people out of Egypt. It was God's mighty hand that brought them out of Egypt. Yes, Moses was there. Yes, that man of God was used. Understand this. The Lord uses preachers a lot to get a lot of things done. They have to have a leader. Yep. And God uses leaders. God uses men as under-shepherds for His work. Those under-shepherds are commanded by God if they're close to God. And there's some that aren't. Understand this. There's some preachers that couldn't care less what God says.
That's right.
As long as they have a big church attendance, or as long as everybody's smiling in our church congregation, they believe they're doing exactly what God would have them to do. I'll give you a perfect example. That fellow down in Texas named Joel Osteen doesn't give a rip what God says. He doesn't care. All he wants is his football stadium filled. All he wants is the people to be happy and give lots of money in Kentucky Fried Chicken size offering plates. And he wants them to go ahead and be thrilled and happy and live the prosperity life. And may I say this, not everybody that lives in Jesus Christ will have a prosperity life so much that they'll be able to put all kinds of money in this plate. Matter of fact, the vast majority of wonderful this is. Don't rely on how exciting everything is around you. Our church has a wonderful rock band that's playing great music. Obviously, God's got to be around. That's not what connotates the Lord being here.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
Can you imagine the statement? I've heard people from Bethel ask that. Oh, it's been years. I've heard people ask, I'm not getting fed here anymore. I've heard it say it. It's hard to feed people when your mind is shut.
Amen. Amen.
Or their mouths are too full of words to fit anything else inside. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It seems to me that a person that asks the question, is God with us, is God among us or not, is a person that A, doesn't know what the Bible says, and B, has their eyes shut, has their blessers turned off. And I'm going to help you with these scriptures right here. Is the Lord among us or not? Folks, I'm going to tell you, in this life, many road bumps come.
Yes.
I know he knew he was going to get picked on. I'm glad you came back.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I look to people as heroes. Honest to goodness, I do. Brother Bob Bevington's one of my heroes.
Amen.
Honest to goodness. Mike Sells, one of my heroes.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not because of how great of a Christian he is. It's because of how faithful a Christian he is.
Yeah.
I really honestly don't care about your flash. I don't care about how good you sing or what you do. I care about your faithfulness. I want to see God. I want to applaud a guy that has faithfulness towards Jesus Christ. I want to applaud a guy that when I come to his bedside and I go to pray for him, in his mind he's praying for me just as much as I'm praying for him. I want to see a fellow that is encouraging me and is asking God, I know God's here, reciting scripture to himself, realizing that God's here when the vast majority of Christians would say, is the Lord among us or not?
Yep.
There's times in my life I've asked that question. There's times in my life I've thought that very same thing. Is the Lord among us or not? Are the preachers of Bethel Baptist Church and the Sunday school, are they really studying before they teach? Because honestly, when I come, I'm just not getting anything.
Amen.
Yeah. And I know this is the cream of the crop. It's Sunday night. You come the vast majority, 99.44%, 100%, ivory soul pure, looking for a blessing when you come on Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's not going to come from me.
Amen. Right. Right.
It's not going to come from Pastor Skyver or Brother Bill or Brother Bob. You pick your preacher.
Yep.
It's going to come from God. And you got to be prayed up when it comes, or you might miss it.
That's right.
You ever been in a church service where somebody just missed it? Brother Jim Dellis would always used to tell this story. I miss Dr. Jim. I don't know if you thought about him lately. And how many people remember Dr. Jim? Put your hands up.
Oh,
oh, my Lord, have mercy. Probably one of
the
sweetest man you'll ever want to meet. They called him the great encourager, and he really was. So articulate, so eloquent when he spoke. He said that he went and preached in this one church, and this lady had a hat on, and boy, this hat had a big feather in it.
Yeah.
Like this, I know you're hearing the story over in your head.
All right, good.
And Dr. Jim, I've never heard him lay an egg one time. I've heard him lots of times preaching. He never laid an egg as far as I'm concerned. And he preached the message, and he goes to the back, and he's greeting people as they come in. And the lady walked up to him. She said, Dr. Delaschmidt, I just want to let you know, sir, that my cup was not filled tonight. I can hear him telling the story. And he felt bad in his heart. Said, man, maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And Karen was next to him. She nudged him. Honey, you ever hear him say that? Nudge me. He said, honey, it's hard to have your cup filled when your cup's turned over.
Yeah.
The question for tonight is the Lord among us or not? I want you to read this scripture with me again. And he called the name of the place Massa,
and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not?
Now understand this, when I talk about the Lord, we're going to go through a few things here. I'm going to try to move as fast as possible. But understand this, when you're talking about the Lord, and the further I get to the ministry, we're coming in on 18, almost 19, this time goes by so fast. The longer I get into this preaching thing, the more I come to realize something very, very simple. And something that really should be obvious right at first for a Christian. The life of a Christian and the relationship with Jesus Christ is not a corporate relationship. The relationship with Jesus Christ, I cannot rely on Brother Mike Shells to have a relationship with Jesus Christ for me. I cannot rely on Pastor Skyver to have a relationship with Jesus Christ for me. Oh, we can get excited, we can get thrilled, we can load the altar up with folks, and then we leave the altar saying, is the Lord among us or not? We can come to the altar and pray and cry. And I've seen people do it time and time again, crying their eyes out. But they walk away, maybe saved, but they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's very easy for them to say, is the Lord among us or not? I don't even know. I don't even recognize him. And that's the sad statement that you're hearing from the Israelite people, that they got to witness some of the greatest things that have ever happened in all of history. They witnessed those things, and yet still were able to say, is the Lord among us or not? If you look through these scriptures, I'm going to challenge you to make these personal. I'm going to challenge you to make your relationship with Jesus Christ personal. You might say, well, Brother Dave, how do I get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not shouting, holy, holy, holy. It's not, oh, let me tell you what it is. You must read about it.
Yep, that's it.
In my opinion, the very first, the most important, first of all, if you're not saved, you need to ask the Lord to save you, because you won't even understand any part of having a relationship with Jesus Christ until you invite him in.
That's right.
You must, and that's what's scary about that, is I believe a lot of preachers in the United States, they aren't saved people. Talking about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they aren't saved themselves.
Yeah.
It's very frightening to me to think of a person as not being saved and leading people.
Right.
Here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to realize that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to reiterate the point that I said before, I cannot have that relationship for you. I cannot crack your Bible open for you. I cannot get a disciplined reading schedule about your Bible for you. I cannot tell you and make you do it. You've got, and by the way, do you think the Lord's going to bless somebody that is made to do it or somebody that wants to do it?
Right.
Oh, I understand. Well, I can't pronounce the word Meribah. I didn't pronounce it right just now. It could be a million different things. Who cares how the word's pronounced? Read about Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Is the Lord among us or not? You'll find out if you get to read about him.
Yep.
Another thing you need to do is start praying about him.
Right.
I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to where you say, I want to know about you. I read about you. Lord, please manifest yourself through me as a Christian. When's the last time you wanted to show off being a Christian? But no amens. Glory to God. When's the last time you wanted to show off that you were a Christian? I'm not talking about the group was showing off. I'm talking about, no, man, I don't want to hear that dirty joke. I'm a Christian. No, I don't want any part of that alcohol. I'm a Christian. No, I don't want to watch that program on the TV. I'm a Christian. No, I'm not going to talk about those things. I'm a Christian. When's the last time you said, God, I want to stand up for you because you stood up for me? When's the last time that you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in so much that you wanted to show off who you were?
Yep.
By the way, not to show off yourself, but to show off who he is.
Amen.
Brother Bob Edwards preached today. He showed off Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Nobody knows better than him, and please don't take this the wrong way. Nobody knows better than him how unworthy he is to do what he's doing. Oh, you got my brother Dave, you're dissing him. I can't hear my, first of all, as his kids were, I said, they didn't do them. It is so disrespectful, brother. It is. Do you know how phenomenal? What do you do? Brother Tom goes down to the mission the time to preach to folks that nobody else would come and preach to. He's showing off Jesus Christ. He's showing off Jesus Christ. Brother Ed goes down to the nursing home and shows off Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So you must understand something. There's a relationship there that must be expressed. Why? Because they want to let people know that the Lord is truly among us.
Yes.
I want to show you a few things out of these scriptures. The challenge is tonight to make the relationship personal. And by the way, the personal relationship will not happen in a minute. Come on, somebody help me tonight. The personal relationship will not happen in a minute. The personal relationship with Jesus Christ takes a very long time. Let me let you in on a little insight in my life. I had the wonderful opportunity to be with a teenager for 10 years. 10 years. Most youth directors make it 10 minutes.
Right.
We've been very fortunate. We've only had three since I've been here. Me, Brother Bill Turner, and Brother Bob Show. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
And the national average is 18 months.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the personal relationship for me did not develop for several years in the beginning youth director. Huh? Oh, anyway, you say, well, how in the world? Let me tell you something. Developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not coming in 10 minutes.
Right.
It's something that you have to work on.
Yeah,
it's the Lord likens the Christian life to a marriage.
Yep.
And there's undoubtedly, I love my wife infinitely more today than I ever loved her back when we got married.
Yes.
Ever. And the reason is very simple. Because we got to know each other personally.
Right.
We got to have a relationship over the years that literally allowed us to become closer. She knows things about me that I pray and hope that she never tells you. Because when's the last time you realized the Lord knows those things about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
We treat the Lord like he's untouchable. We treat the Lord to come to church because it's the right thing to do. How about you come to church because it's a place where you want to increase your relationship with Jesus Christ?
Right.
I don't come up to the altar anymore because I don't believe God's here. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you God's in this place where two or more are gathered in his name. He will be there among them. I promise you, you come up to this altar and give something to Jesus Christ. Leave it here. Don't take it back with you. Come up here and leave it for Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to read about you. When I read about you, I want the scriptures to start becoming real to me instead of something just an old story that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I got to be honest with you. If the Word of God doesn't mean anything to you, I'm afraid for you. How are you going to have a personal relationship if you don't put forth an effort to have a personal relationship? How do we know when the Lord is with us? If you look at Exodus chapter 17 in the first three verses, I'm just going to go through these quickly. How do we know when the Lord is with us? Well, according to the scriptures here, you're going to see folks that are coming out of the world. Folks are coming out of the world. Let me explain something to you. It's very difficult in this day and age to keep the world out of the church.
Yep. Right.
Really is. The vast majority of people want the world to be here too.
Yep.
They want to see the coffee house in the foyer. They want to see the rock and roll band out there.
Right.
They want the world to be inside. Let me explain something to you. That's not what God wants.
Yeah.
God wants folks to come out of the world.
Right.
Egypt is always a type of the world in the scripture. What happened? God cared so much, Brother Josh, about them coming out of the world. He used his mighty hand.
Yes.
He used his mighty hand to pull them out. Takes them through the Red Sea, and the Lord makes a statement, you will never see them ever again anymore. You know what that tells me? He brought the water in on unsaved folks. Think of me now. He destroyed the world behind the Jewish people.
Yep.
He destroyed the world because they left the world behind. I wonder if the only thing stopping the Lord from destroying the world in our lives is the simple fact that we won't leave it behind.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to give up my old music. But once I did, the Lord destroyed it.
Yeah.
Think with me now. Hey, listen. The Lord wants us to have a relationship. Is the Lord among us or not? I don't know. Are you coming out of the world?
Amen.
Yep.
Is the Lord among us or not? I don't know. Are we seeing people's lives change? Is the Lord among us or not? I don't know. Are you dealing with things in this altar? And I'm not telling you to change everything in a moment of time. But what I am telling you is this. I wonder if something's changing.
Yes.
I wonder if we're starting to walk away from the things of the world and starting to move closer to that personal relationship we're supposed to.
kids are teenagers.
Oh, don't you look up at these kids. Uh-uh. No, no, no. Look at you.
That's right.
Oh, we can't wait to run to the kids. You dirty, rotten, rat teenager. No, no, no. Don't look at them. Don't look. We've got to do the kids right here. Look at you. Look at you, Papa. What are you leaving behind? What are you changing? Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
What happens next? Old things are what? And all things are what? Now, I know that's talking about salvation, but somebody help me. If your life's not changing a little bit, is the Lord among you or not? You'll be able to tell it because you'll be giving stuff up. You'll be able to tell it because you're going to want to have things change. If the Lord's here in the... Listen, my kids, it's so funny. At least the vast majority of the time, this is funny. If they know that Dad's coming, they stop messing up.
Oh, yeah.
I know this. When I was a kid, I messed up a lot. I was a chief of messing up. But if I knew my dad was stomping around the corner, I would sit up real straight. Hi, Dad. How are you? I turned into that kid that was on the Cleaver show. Eddie Haskell. I turned into Eddie Haskell. Boy, Dad, you sure look nice today. And just a second ago, I was messing up. Well, listen, if the Lord's around, I wonder if you're going to feel bad about what you're doing. Amen?
Yep.
Amen.
I wonder if you're going to want to change what's going on in your life. Listen, if the Lord's around, you're going to find people coming out of the world. The Lord, listen, the people were crying. And I've heard people do this before as Christians at Bethel Baptist Church. Oh, God, please get me out of what I'm in my life. I've heard it. I've counseled with them. Oh, God, please get me out of what I'm in my life. Yet you want God to get you out, but you come to this altar and pray about, oh, Lord, please change my heart towards the things of the world and change my heart to you. Oh, God, please take me out of what I'm in. And you walk right back and nothing changed. Is God among you or not? Is the Lord among us or not? We're so used to seeing miracles, we don't see him anymore, preacher. Is God around us or not? I'll tell you, God's here. I'm seeing miracles every day. Church, we asked you. I stood up at this pulpit as your associate pastor and preacher and Brother Mike were down. What did I ask you to do? I asked you to fast and pray. I don't know if everybody did it, but I know enough did it because it was very quick that this man started to get you better and this man started to get you better. Why? Because God's around. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Don't talk like it was you that did it. It was God that did it. Why? Because he's around.
Yes.
We talk like God can't do it. I don't think God shortened his hand at all. I think we just stopped reaching up to him. The second thing, folks are getting the living water. If God's around, there's going to be water available. Listen to this now. This is good stuff. If you look in these scriptures, start reading down, the Lord said, hey, listen, I got enough water for everybody. Take that staff in your hand that you parted the waters with and go down to this rock, smite it one time. I know that's a symbolic picture of Jesus Christ being spoken one time for all of us. And he was. And later on, Moses messed up and stoned it again. And he wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to ask the rock the next time. He didn't do that. And because he was wrong, he didn't get to go into the promised land. The Lord showed it to him, but wouldn't let him go in. All those things set aside. Listen, if you are having the Lord around, there's going to be a report that six got saved in Super Church.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you have the Lord walking around, you're going to see people getting saved. If you have there's enough water for all these folks that are lost coming to church. And listen, by the way, that's why we have Corn Dog Sunday.
Amen.
That's why ketchup got squirted on a girl's shirt this morning.
Yep.
Because we want to show her living water. We want the kids to be introduced to Jesus Christ. Is the Lord among us or not? Why do we do the things that we do? Brother Dave, I'm sick and tired of spending all the money that it takes to fuel up them buses. Well, you better go to a different church.
Yeah.
Or get right with God and start getting some money.
We're never going to stop running.
Number three, folks are relying on God for deliverance. Hey, if you want to know whether or not God's around, were you relying on kingdom plague or the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just asking. Because I'm going to tell you right now, only God can give the wisdom for people to get healed. Only God can give the wisdom. I don't care if you use it as a doctor. Go ahead. He made doctors too, amen. Understand this. You better be relying on God when the hard times come. You better be relying on God. Because I'm going to tell you, if you quit relying on God, he won't show up. Well, if you don't need feed me. I want beers like the fellas on the rooftop in the flood. He said, man, Lord, please deliver me. Helicopter shows up. So I'm waiting on the Lord. Boat floats by. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. The water keeps rising up and fellas drowns. Goes up and says, Lord, I asked you to deliver me. The Lord said, I sent a helicopter and a boat. Why didn't you get on one? She must understand something. Jesus Christ is still around. Jesus Christ is still doing great and mighty things. We become so used to the life that we have. We're willing to walk in and just sit down and see if our blesser can get blessed by the preacher.
Yep.
Quit waiting for the preacher to bless you. Ask God to.
Amen.
I didn't get fed today. You came full, stupid. You were full of something else. I won't tell you what it was. Why isn't God around? God never left. And if you, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give him any credit at all. I know I'm picking on him this morning. I don't give that man any credit at all for being healed. You say, well, he had faith and spirit, and because he had that and was all happy inside, he got healed. No, Jesus Christ worked through him to heal him.
Yes.
And nothing to do with me, preacher, nobody else. Jesus Christ
right.
Gave them up. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you start relying on God to get us through things, you'll start to realize that he's really around.
Amen.
My car broke down about 3.5-4 weeks ago. And as you know, I've been blessed with the opportunity to preach hundreds of funerals. And I don't, that's not an exaggeration. I've already preached over 200 funerals for Wood Corporate Funeral, over 200 that they have on record. In the last 10 years, glory to God, Bethel's been using a great way. Don't look at me. It's because God has used that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I looked at all those things, and then my car breaks down, and I said, oh, Lord, the funeral home had already paid me. The bill came to $183. $183. And I did not have that. I said, Lord, I don't want to do it. And it's the story after story after story after story that you hear, but you never experience it. I was forced, and sadly enough, as a preacher, forced to rely on God. I was never going to do anything else. I'd go out to the mailbox, and there's an envelope. It said, Pastor Dave Bannon. I took it out of the mailbox, opened it up. The check was for $200. I had to rely on God. Because I had to. Don't look at. I'm not telling you I'm spiritual. I'm telling you why in the world wasn't I already relying on God?
Amen.
I'm telling you I'm shortcoming. I'm not telling you I'm spiritual. I'm telling you I'm not. I'm telling you if I would rely on him right off the bat, maybe the car wouldn't even have broke down.
Amen.
So you got to understand something. We put ourselves in hell. My boat's taking in water. I'm just going to go ahead and grab this bucket and do it myself. Why don't you pray that God plugs the hole?
Amen.
See, we've got it all mixed up. We've got the carpet. Is God around? I don't know. Are you looking for him? In America, we can do everything ourselves. We do it ourselves. We don't need anybody's help.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. We needed God's help when we came over here. Nothing's changed.
Right.
Folks relying on God for deliverance, that's when you know God's around. Here's another one. How do you know that God's around? Because you'll be surrounded by enemies. I tell you, one thing that's more damaging than anything else to the psyche of a Christian is when they're surrounded by enemies. If you look at this, you'll see that the Amalekites are all around. And how in the world, as a matter of fact, this is a precursor to the story where Moses stood up on top of the hill and he held up his hand. And as long as he held up his hand, that the battle, we won. But as soon as his hands were heavy, it started to come down. We started to lose. So they got two good men around him to prop up his arms so they would win. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, you want to see that God is around. Notice the enemies that are around. You say, well, brother, that doesn't make any sense. You would think that God would clear all them out for us. No. The enemy understands that if we're going to start believing in God, he's got to cut that off at the pass. The devil doesn't want you to believe in God.
Right.
The devil doesn't want you to rely on God. The devil doesn't want the people of God to be living water. The devil doesn't want the people of God to start asking God for things and have a personal relationship with him. All they want you to do is watch YouTube.
Yep.
All he wants you to do is do anything at all that will take you away from Jesus Christ.
Right.
Good, bad, doesn't matter. God just wants to take you away from Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, in this day and age, there's more things in the way of teenagers knowing about their Lord and Savior than there ever has been in history. I believe
that's
with all my heart.
Right.
Amen. then arguably not necessarily bad things.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I want a group of teens, listen to me. I want a group of teenagers that don't just live right. Living right, I hope and pray. I don't want them to do it just because it's expected of them.
Right.
Yeah. Although it is expected of you, and whether you like it or not, do it. I'm not expecting that. I want them to live right because they want to live right. Because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the youngest teenager, the youngest child, they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jimmy Shell can have a relationship with Jesus Christ just as much as I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want him to want to do right. I want him to serve God. I want him to look to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wants to, not because he's asked to, not because it's expected of him, although I think it's expected. That's the way like this. Do it because you get beat up otherwise. But until then, son, I want you to seek out God's will for your life because you want to.
Yes.
And I want us adults to follow the same.
Yes.
I don't want you to drag yourself into church. Singing Sunday again. I'm sure they'll pass some silver plates around and ask me for more money. You know what? We might get to stop asking if you come ready to give it. Moses had at one time to tell his people to stop bringing it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't know if Moses was a Baptist at that time or not. But understand this, God loving the cheerful giver, if you not just your money.
Yep.
See, money is a symptom. Is God among us or not? If he's among us, the money is a symptom of what's going on in here.
Yes.
If you let God have this, he'll have this.
Yes.
Here's a symptom. Let's switch it around. If God does, and by the way, I'm talking about my wall. If God would be still. If God does not have this, he probably does not have this.
That's right.
Well, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about money. Sorry. But that's one of the ways you can tell whether or not the Lord's among us.
Yep.
Are we taking on more missionaries or are we done with them? Is the church struggling or is the church going forward? Well, it's the economy. Here's what's sad. Brother Mike, is the Lord among us or not? Can he give us jobs so we can support God's work?
Yep.
I don't know about you, but it seems to me like the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hilltops. It seems to me, listen to me, I don't know, it seems to me like the Lord has enough money. Well, then, why is he asking for mine? I hear. You know why? Because you're a steward of his money.
Yes, right.
Huh? You're a steward of his money. I love it. Hear people all the time. Well, the Lord let me win the lottery, I'll get 10%. You didn't get 10% when you had a dollar. Why do you think you can get it when you have a million?
That's right.
You got to understand something. Let the Lord have this. You want to have a personal. Is the Lord among you or not? You say, I'm saved. Yeah, but you know what? If we suppress the Holy Spirit so much in our lives, we don't even recognize him. He's around anymore.
Yep.
And the Israelite people got to witness all these great things. By the way, Bethel, we've witnessed a lot of great miracles here, if you would recall.
Amen.
The Lord paid off our property pretty quick, glory to God.
Yes.
The Lord gave us a bus $2,000 cheaper than we raised, glory to God.
Yep. Yep.
The Lord brought Brother Sales back, our preacher back. Glory to God.
Yep.
So you gotta understand something. If you want Jesus to be around, open your eyes. He's here.
Amen. Amen.
Not only are enemies all around, the Lord is leading us into battle.
Yes.
The Lord did not ask us to just sit here and surrender.
Right.
He did not. Well, the Catholics are getting too tough, or the Muslims, boy, you can't even say nothing to Muslims, and they're offended. You know, let's start offending some people.
Amen.
I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says to tuck tail and run.
Nope. Right.
All the armor he tells us to put on, Susie, is on the front. Because if you turn around, you can get slain. But if you go forward, you have protection.
Right.
And you'll know that God is around if you start seeing the Lord leading us into battle. Not just willing to sit here on our laurels. Well, we've got it good enough. We had six saved today. That should be enough. No. Why am I so excited? excited about our bus routes going forward? Why am I so excited about seeing? Because that's the front lines, brother.
Yeah.
That's going out into the beds.
Yeah.
Most difficult bus inspections are coming. Yeah, we have them every year. I'm waiting for somebody to peel over and die over that. Understand this. The bus inspections are always going to be there. Let the Lord lead us into battle.
Yep.
Let the Lord, I said, let the Lord lead us into battle. Brother, damn, gas price goes to $5. Elect Obama again, you'll see 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now,
right.
The Lord is going to lead us into battle. Up your house, expenses the gas price again. Because we're supposed to run buses.
Right.
We're supposed to preach about Christ. And there's not that many churches doing it anymore.
Right.
There's not that many churches giving you truth anymore.
That's
there's
right.
Not that many people standing on the Word of God. I'm talking about standing on it. I'm not
Amen.
Talking about using it.
Yeah.
I want to throw up every while I use the King James.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give it to me and let me stand on it?
Yeah.
Because God's not looking for somebody who's willing to tuck tail and run every time someone really smart and fast comes up and says, well, it's not really fire. Hey, listen, the Lord's going to lead us into battle. That means you're going to have to fight a little bit. The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith. Is God among us or not? All throughout the scripture, time after time after time, preacher, you see the Lord leading into battle and the battle being won by God.
Right, yes.
Can you imagine surrounding an enemy camp with lanterns and pitchers and they stab themselves? You didn't have to raise a pitcher and bust somebody in the head with it. He said, well, should we take sword? No, I'll go and fight for you. Christian, when's the last time you wanted God to fight for you? When's the last time you wanted to fight for God?
Yeah.
If the Lord's around, if the Lord's among us, you're going to see battles.
Right.
Enemies all around, and the Lord's going to be leading us into battle.
Yes.
You're going to see many fighting. You're going to see helping others to fight. Just as they held up the hands of your pastor. Now is not the time to take our hands off from underneath the man of God.
Right.
Now is not the time. Now is not the time to read somebody else's book and start to trust them more than the old fashioned preacher.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Now is not the time. Now is not the time to start saying God can't. Now is not the time. Now is not the time to start staying home on Sunday nights.
Right.
Now's not the time.
Right.
Now's not the time to start staying home on Wednesday nights.
Right.
Now's not the time. I tell you what time it is. It's time to start coming on Saturdays.
Yes.
It's time to start soul winning. It's time to start taking that old Bible out there and telling people that we have a Savior that still saves. We have a blood that's still powerful. We have a Christ that still redeems. We need to be doing that because I'm going to tell you that is when you're going to realize that Jesus is still around.
Amen.
Do you know how exciting it was your brother to get six saved today? You said it was just kids. I would have got, I was saved at that young.
Right.
I would have got that old man, I was saved at that young. I would have got that I get coming on the bus. We got a pretty good example of that sitting right here next to this tall lady kid.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you right now. You say God's not around. Look right here.
Yep.
See, I look at this as a miracle.
Yes.
I look at that as a bus kid that we fought for and bled for and went out and gave your money for. And I don't care if not one other kid ever got saved on the buses. This young lady was worth it.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What price can you put on a soul?
Amen.
You say, well, we don't see that many people won anymore. You got a mouse in your pocket, Jack. I don't see you winning anybody.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Now we're
shutting
down now, right? Because I'm stepping on toes. When's the last time you told somebody about Christ? Well, a preacher doesn't go out and win people. When do you? I'll tell you, until you go, don't you tell anybody else about Christ.
Right.
I get sick and tired of God among us or not. We're better than that church. When nobody in Christ, where are you?
Right.
No amen. Glory to God. You might be hearing me. When's the last time you told somebody about Christ? When's the last time you took a track and gave it to somebody? I don't care whose ugly mug was on. When's the last time? When is the last time you asked the Lord, Lord, please go before me so I can tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Is the Lord among us or not? You're too busy looking at other churches and watching what they're doing.
That's right.
No, it's the relationship with Christ is not a corporate relationship, people. It's not an all-encompassing universal church relationship where if everybody is happy, at least the majority of people are happy we're doing our job. No, it's a relationship with you and him. If you have a relationship with you and him, you have a harsh desire to do something for him, and you won't ask the question, is God among us or not?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
because he's among me. Has the Lord convicted you of something? This happens a lot. The Lord convicts you of something, you get so seared in your conscience that you can put it away and never bring it up again. Is the Lord among us or not? How many times did the Lord has asked me to witness to somebody? I didn't do it. Too busy. And then I have the audacity to come to this altar and say, Lord, are you here or not? When that still small voice came and said, David, please tell that person about me.
Yes. Yes.
And I can come here and say, Lord, you're not showing me anything. You didn't give me any miracles. Leading somebody to Christ is the greatest of all miracles.
Yes.
By the way, I hope you know tonight that I'm preaching this to me first. I'm not preaching this to you. I'm preaching this to myself. When have I done something for Jesus Christ? When have I been led into battle by Him? When have I let Jesus Christ direct me in what I'm supposed to do? What are we here for? We expect Jesus Christ to come down in a miraculous ball and pillar of fire. Oh God, do something miraculous! Working through an old repentant sinner is a miracle that can beat any of those miracles. Working through a person like Bob Edwards. Working through a person like Dave Ballard. Working through a person like Pastor Stiver. Working through a person like Mike Sells. You name your name. The people that know where they've come from. We're living miracles.
Yes.
That God is able to use these dirty, rotten wretches.
Yes.
Has God led you into battle?
Yes.
And I'm all done. Last one. Let's read a little bit more. I want to take you down to verse 11. The battle's raging. Moses has his hands up. Aaron and Hur are holding up his arms, fighting against Amalek. Joshua's fighting. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this, listen now, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because who? Because the Lord. Because who? Because the Lord. Because Joshua? Because the Lord. Because preacher? Because the Lord. Because Brother David? No, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Listen, when we do finally win a victory, when we do finally have that battle won, when we do finally find it all over, Brother Sal, when you come back to hell, come back and say, thank you, Jesus Christ, for bringing me through that battle. Because too many times, Christians, we watch a victory go by and claim it as our own. We walk by and we see a victory come, we think it's something that we've done. Something that we thought was great. I got news for you. There's in your flesh will no good thing. Yeah. Everything is won in your life for the good. Everything is won in your life for the right. Everything is won in your life to do that what Jesus Christ has done. Is Jesus Christ doing it? Give Christ the glory tonight. Is the Lord around? I don't know. Are you thanking Him and giving Him glory for that which He has done?
Yeah.
Israel asks that question. Whether it be in a fit of stupidity, whether it be in a fit of anger, whether it be in a fit of feeling betrayed. And the Lord says this, throughout all the scriptures, you'll see time and time again that the Lord asks us, or asks them, whoever we're dealing with at that time, to set up memorials. Why? Why do we do that? Even the Lord's Supper, the Lord asks us to do this in remembrance.
Right.
So we can come to a place where we once were. So we can come to a victory
tell you, one of the neatest things that ever happened in my life is watching the Lord pay for my wedding.
Amen.
You might say that's foolish. I look at that as a victory. I think you let too many things go by as foolishness. I think you let too many things go by as just trifle out and say that wasn't God. Let me tell you something. God is just as interested in your trifles as he is in the major victories.
Right. Yep.
And if you'll give God the credit for it, you'll never ask the question again. Is God among us or not? If God's among us, you'll be thankful. The farther I get along this whole world, the closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize how much of a sinner I am. The more I realize how much I am in desperate need of that Savior. The more I come to the realization that the relationship is more on me than it is on Him. Is the Lord among us or not? To ask that question, you must have to do a lot of ignoring. To ask that question, your cup must be